from New York and California, just mass protests, protesting evil, proclaiming the goodness of Jesus Christ to a generation. Amen. There is a remnant rising in America. There is a generation that's not buying into a narrative of fear and paranoia. They are hearing the voice of God say, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." And as I woke up at 3 a.m. with just the drums in my ears about the sound of revival, my phone was just blowing up from different friends in the body just this past weekend, just explosions of salvations and miracles. And it's good to hear good reports, amen. It's good to be encouraged by what God is doing in the nation. I want to thank one more time Justin, the leadership team here. It's been an honor to come to Pagosa Springs the last several years. Thank you for all of those who are sowing into JJM. We believe that you are partnering with us on the front lines to see a third great awakening in America. As I shared with you, Antifa and BLM and all these groups are after us right now, but we're moving forward, covered in the blood of Jesus. And whether you could give financially or not, more than that, we cover your prayers, not only this weekend, but as we continue to move forward in the nation. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Exodus chapter 3? When we travel on these weekends, I always pray and ask the Lord just for direction regarding what he wants to do during the weekend. And the last two nights, I've been sharing more of a burden that I'm feeling for the nation. This morning, I wanted to just sort of go in a completely opposite direction. And I believe that the Lord would like me to talk about transition. And when I was praying several weeks ago into the specific Sunday morning services, I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk to a restoration fellowship about transition, that I believe that this church is in a transitional season. And I also believe that those who would gather with us here on Sunday morning, God wanted to talk to you about transition. So, in other words, I'm just jumping out in faith. I'm going to share what the Lord gave me. If the shoe fits, wear it. But how many of us know at one point in your life, you're going to go through a transition? So this would be one of those messages where it's right now, it's been in the past, it's coming. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to talk to us this morning. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that no one is here by mistake or coincidence. We thank you that you woke us up this morning. God, we lift up, Lord, the season of transition that we'll all face in our lives. And Lord, I don't want anyone to get stuck in the wilderness. Lord, I don't want anyone to receive a promise and never see it fulfilled. God, I ask through the wisdom that you provide in your word, through the trust that you invite us into with the person of the Holy Spirit, may Jesus be glorified, and it's in his name we pray, amen. Exodus chapter 3, God begins to stir up a man named Moses, who we know had spent many years on the backside of a mountain, and he's about to have a burning bush encounter. And the Lord begins to give him a prophetic word for the nation of Israel. And in verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "So I have come down to deliver them," being Israel, "from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite," and just to save us time, to a lot of ites. And so God speaks this word to Moses, "I'm going to send you down to deliver Israel from the power of the Egyptians. I'm going to take them out of Egypt, and I'm going to take them to a good land." Many of us know it's a land flowing with milk and honey. How many of you have ever heard of this land, Canaan, called the Promised Land? All of us. How many of you know that's not in the Bible? The term Promised Land was actually a term that scholars coined to describe the land of Canaan. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is just how misleading that type of thinking can really be when God desires to transition us. I want to say that one more time. Are you awake? Had some great worship. Thank you, Erica and the team. We're going to help just wake us up a little more. Okay, God speaks to Moses, I'm going to send you down to Egypt, and you're going to prophesy to Israel that I'm going to bring them up out of the land of Egypt to a land, a good land, and the word of God says, to a land flowing with milk and honey. So if I was a pastor's kid, grew up in the church, the whole thing, I had this mindset always that this land flowing with milk and honey, like I just pictured it because, you know, they carried back the fruit, you know, go back before the book of Deuteronomy. I just pictured it as like the Disney World of like just everything. Larger than life. I mean, just a tremendous land. And so Egypt, to me, pretty much had to be a wasteland. It had to be this place that was a miserable wilderness, and evidently now God wants to take them from this desolate place to this kind of Disney World promise, because we all hunger for the promises of God. We want those kinds of prophetic words that would invite us into a season where there's no pain, there's no trial, it's very easy. And how many of you in this room, I'm glad we have some older folks in here, could just testify, transition is not always what you think it is. Wave at me. How about this? How about what you thought God was bringing you into doesn't always turn out like you thought? And then how many of us recognize, due to the disappointment and the disillusionment of what you just waved your hand to, we begin to question whether God is really good? We allow lies that the devil places inside of us to begin to question the voice of God, to begin to question his intentions for us. And I want to just encourage you as a messenger this morning that although the term promised land isn't in the Bible, God did promise them. And what he promised them was this. Deuteronomy 11. Thank God. Real quick. Deuteronomy 11. It's powerful. All right. Deuteronomy 11 verse 10. For the land into which you are entering to possess it is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your feet like a vegetable garden. Now, I am absolutely not a farmer nor a country boy. I always feel out of place in Pagosa Springs. I confess to you, I'd rather shop and go to the movies than go hunting. I know it's blasphemy. Can't say I've ever shot in anything. Praise the Lord. Been too serious this weekend. But I know this. If it's that easy to plant crops with your feet, that soil had to be really fertile. Would you agree with that? What the Bible's telling us is, it's not, the land I'm taking you to is not going to be like Egypt. But the land into which you are about to cross to possess it, a land of hills and valleys, it actually drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginnings even to the end of the year. It shall come about, because the prophet said it, it shall come about, what's it say? If okay, so wait a minute. I thought because God said it, it was a done deal. I thought if I got a prophetic word from the prophet, I just take it to the bank. So like if I get a prophetic word that I'm the next Billy Graham, all I've got to do is keep playing video games and eating Doritos at my house, and I'll be the next Billy Graham. Wait a minute. What if partnership is required to see the promises of God come to fulfillment in our life? What if the promised land is not actually the kind of promised land that I thought, or maybe you thought? Maybe it was a promised land in that God says, I promise, if you depend upon me, I promise if you trust me, then you will walk in the fullness of all that I've provided for you. But it's if and then. There are certain covenants in the Bible that God swore by himself, and there's nothing that he, there's not, no one or no person that could have sabotaged that covenant. But can I tell you, especially in the new covenant, in the New Testament, that all of the promises of God, about 90% of them, are conditional? But this doesn't sell well, because we get so excited to hear God, and then we think we're done. Just give me the word, speak to me in your word, give me a prophetic word. And what actually happens is the promise initiates a process or a transition that will determine the fulfillment of the word. I remember in Pennsylvania about 9 years ago, I stood up a man and prophesied to him a rare word concerning finances, that God was going to make him a multimillionaire to finance the kingdom of God, that he'd have multiple businesses. He called our office that week to let me know I was a false prophet, because he got fired the next day. You know what my response was to him? Sir, I know now that that was actually the word of the Lord. I know it now better than I even did when I gave it to you. Because the real word of the Lord has initiated a process, and that word is going to be tested. In fact, do you know how I choose to authenticate whether something is actually the word of the Lord or not? By the degree of warfare that comes against it. It's the Bible. I can just imagine the people Moses comes down a land flowing with milk and honey. And they're like, yeah. We don't have time this morning, but you follow the story and the Lord introduces them to this place called the wilderness. Probably was only a 40-day journey from Egypt to Canaan. Took them 40 years. Why? They refused to obey what God had commanded them. They refused divine partnership. I want to say something to you. If you want to write it down, you can. Fear leads to rebellion, but faith leads to the occupation of the promises of God. When you find yourself in a season of transition that God has initiated, when something begins to materialize, whether it's in the spirit and no one knows it, or it's happening around you, there's going to be a series of tests and trials regarding that word. And none of it is ever intended to try to get you to question whether God is good or what you did wrong. You need to listen to me this morning. None of the trials or the testings, none of the wilderness in the midst of the transition is ever meant or ever intended to cause you to question the goodness of God or what you did wrong. I remember pastoring. We planted Heart of the Father Ministry in 2010. I was committed solely to the church for the first several years. Around 2014, doors started opening around the nation. I was sort of doing a dual thing. In 2015, I was at the height then of what you might consider influence. And I was at our 6 a.m. prayer meeting. I'll never forget, me and just a couple of people. And the Lord said to me, "Jeremiah, it's time to take a seat." I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm sitting." He said, "No, you're going to cancel all the preaching. You're not going to preach at this church, and you're not going to preach on the road." He said, "I want you to go to your elders and tell them that you're going to take a seat." My very first reaction, and this is, I'm not going to teach on the orphan spirit this morning because we'll sidetrack us, but it is sort of a dovetail to this. Hear the heart of the orphan. What did I do wrong? In that moment, I failed to see that God was more interested in changing me than using me. Only he knew the pride and the arrogance that was filling my heart in that season of life. And rather than allowing me to crash and burn out of his goodness and his heart, by the way, that has seen the end from the beginning. Because God doesn't deal with us in our time and space. God deals with us as Father from before the beginning of time till the end. Is anybody grateful that God hasn't answered some of your prayers that you wanted in the moment, that you demanded that God give because you were a blood-bought believer in Jesus, praying stupid, selfish prayers? So he sits my rear end down in a seat and he introduces me to this concept called ministry addiction. "Lord, what are you talking about? I'm called to the ministry." He says, "Where's that in the Bible? Called to ministry?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I went to Bible college for. If you're called to ministry, go get a degree, go get some kind of training. In that 6 month period of not preaching or praying or prophesying, God began to deal with the root of issues in my heart that I had been covering up with ministry. And he began to show me that if there's any ministry I should appeal to, it's just simply ministry to him. The ultimate calling of all of our destinies in God is to simply worship and minister at his feet. There's no way to be effective to ministry to people if we don't first learn how to minister to him. So for me, it took 6 months of sitting down to get recalibrated and to get back to our point of this was the manifestation of the love of the Father for my life. He loved me too much to leave me the way that I was going. In the wilderness, in seasons of transition, when it's not going how you thought, when you don't have the money that you thought was going to be there, when the people that you thought you could trust in turn on you, I want to encourage you, God is good. I want to counsel you through your pain that God the Father loves us enough to see the end from the beginning, and our temporary afflictions in this life are storing up for us a weight of eternal glory. Why is an invalid question that makes you an invalid? There are people in this room that are 60 years old that are really 32. Because you have never moved beyond what happened in your 30s, and you have become spiritually incapacitated. Why? 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 There are seasons in your life, seasons of transition. God, I thought you said this. God, I thought you were going this way, where we have to refuse to live in the past and learn how to live in the present and dream about the future. There's something inside of us as human beings that crave to be God. We refuse to trust him unless he answers the way that we want. We refuse to continue to be obedient to his plans and his purposes unless it works out the way that we thought. I want to encourage us today to take a deep breath. We are all on a journey trying to discover the will of God for our lives. And I believe that God is saying to a group gathered in Pagosa that no matter how many twists and turns there are, he's still a good father. Does the Father know best or not? Have you ever raged? Have you ever just lost it? Why, God? Why did you take them? He's not looking for a bunch of robots. These kinds of conversations are not supposed to be so awkward. We are all on a journey as sons and daughters with a loving heavenly Father, learning to acknowledge, Father, even when I don't understand, Even when my questions of why will never be answered, I confess to know you is to trust you. Do you trust the Father today? Are there wounds in your past, things that happened where you thought that you've never recovered from? I want to tell you that the hand of the Father brought you here today to help you recover and speak to all your wounds and all your pain. And I speak over your life, God is good. For many of us, what you've been through, it's not because of the sin in your life, it's because of the call on your life. What a revelation that was. See, because we get caught between a rock and a hard place and we do this psychological inventory. We question everything. Question God, question ourselves, question the people around us, and we're clawing and scratching for answers of why and who and what and where and why. Maybe it would do a lot of us some good in this season to work through some of those questions to the point where the Lord said to me one day, there's a difference between asking me questions and questioning me. One indicts and points our finger in his face and questions his ways, questioning God. The other asking him questions is from a posture of humility and sonship. As sons and daughters, we can ask the Father questions, but I'm telling you, questioning him and pointing your finger in his face is going to leave you trapped in transition, and you will die spiritually out in the wilderness. We sang the song this morning. I didn't talk to the worship team. So prophetic, the crushing. Is it okay not to understand the ways of God? Is it okay to desire to know but be at peace with the mystery that is God? I've prayed for some and they've been healed of cancer. I've prayed for some and they died right before my eyes. I've been in those hospital rooms where the families go absolutely ballistic, mad at you, mad at God, and there's absolutely nothing that you can say to heal their pain. But God's still good. He has a plan. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to know it all to trust God. There's safety and there's security. There's peace. Those Israelites coming up out of Egypt when they were faced with the wilderness could have just said, yes, Father. This doesn't exactly look like I thought, but I'll trust you in it. But we all know that wasn't the way that they wanted to go. They wanted to grumble and they wanted to complain. They wanted to rail against God. They wanted to rail against their leaders. Folks, can I talk to some marriages in here? Please stop taking your anger out on your spouse. You're going through something in your life from your childhood and your family, and God has given you a partner to help walk you through the transition in the wilderness. And if we give the devil a foothold, we will make the very person that God wants to bring healing to our lives a type of punching bag. And we will verbally assault them. And we will take out our anger on them, our frustrations, our fears. And again, communication and healthy ways of pouring out our hearts, all of that is totally valid. This is not a message of suck it up, buttercup. But as we walk through transition and through the wilderness, recognize the people that God has placed around you that are there to help you and not hurt you. If you're feeling convicted this morning that maybe a spouse or parents, don't take your anger out on your children. Don't make them pay for your internal turmoil. Father, I'm just asking that you would help us this morning. I know that you're speaking all over this room. Precious Holy Spirit, the great tenderizer. God, walking with you can be so hard. Learning how to trust you can be such a great challenge. Lord, we haven't come here this morning trying to act all spiritual. Lord, we come before you humbly and say, Father, will you help us? I grew up a pastor's son. Some of you might have heard this story, and I grew up around the things of God, a great family. I was 18 years old, pursuing the call, and I got a call from my father one day. He was crying, saying that something was wrong with my mom. From that day till present, she ended up in a mental institution, divorced my dad, put him and us in bankruptcy and foreclosure. I'm one of four boys. Two of my brothers decided to say to God, well, if this is what my parents get for being in the ministry, excuse my language, screw you. They began to not only run, but they began to willingly and with delight serve the devil. I literally was an eyewitness to a nuclear explosion that went off in a family that had given their all for God. I watched my father became suicidal, and rather than him being my hero, I found myself holding him with my arms as he cried himself to sleep. I'll never forget when he had kidney stones, which for men, they say is, no offense women, I'm not saying it's the same pain, but I hear it's pretty painful. I remember him screaming in the bathroom and me running in and holding him and him pushing me away and saying, it's okay, it's relief from the pain that your mother has put me in. I have a brother currently that's serving a long-term sentence in prison because of mom and dad's divorce. He himself made his own decisions. Sharing these things with you just so that you know the message that I'm sharing this morning is just not a good Bible study. My journey to learn how to trust God, even with a mother to this day that the lights are on and no one's home. What happened? The invitation to become angry at God. The invitation when I share stories like this, people come up to me. And you can imagine they say and they share and they try just about everything that they can, many of them intending to bring comfort, and really they just inflict more pain. Pain can be a teacher. Circumstances that we go through can be a great tool in the hands of God, but this one thing I know, for many of us, we cannot control what happens in life, but we can control how we respond. We've all been dealt cards in life. Things that came down the pipe that weren't on the blueprint. But have we allowed those things to harden us? Have we allowed those things to drive us further and further away from God, or have we yielded in humility and an understanding that Father knows best? Have we allowed it to tenderize us? Have we allowed it to soften us? How are we doing this morning? He's a good Father. He really is a good dad. Where were you, God? I was right there crying with you in your pain. This is not a God that enjoys our suffering. This is not a God in the sky who's too busy to answer your cries because he's dealing with other kids. This is a Father in heaven who's looking to do this life with you. Do you trust him? Just want to close our eyes just one more time. I feel such a strong anointing right now. Precious Holy Spirit, like a river of living water, come and water our dry hearts. There's people in this room that totally act like they've got it going on, and deep down inside they've died. God, bring up things to the surface that we've long shoved down. Thank you for the plans that you have for us. Plans to give us hope in a future. Thank you for your plans to conform us to the image and likeness of your Son. remember the day I chose to forgive. Just like it was yesterday. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. By you refusing to forgive, you enslave yourself to a prison of bitterness and anger and rage. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. I remember when I called my mom and said, "Mom, I forgive you." And it was another opportunity to go bitter when she said, "For what?" So many of us have been there, right? Those who hurt us, and then we've carried the pain for years when we finally get to the place where we're willing to forgive. They insult and they assault by not even acknowledging your pain. Do you know that the ultimate form of contempt is to refuse to acknowledge a person's presence? Have you ever heard somebody call Donald Trump 45? Anybody? You know why they do that? Contempt. They refuse to say his name, so they'll call him 45. In a derogatory way, just revealing the contempt in their heart for him. Have you ever refused to name a family member? I'm not even going to acknowledge their existence. Thus revealing how bound we really are. She said, "For what?" And I said, "Mom, it's okay. Forgiveness is not for you, it's for me. I release you today to the Father." And how many of us know, in the midst of transition, we think we forgave, and then a couple days or weeks or months later, God says, "Not." How many of you know forgiveness is a process? It's a choice. It's a journey, daily and weekly, to say, "Father, I forgive them. I release them to you. I acknowledge that you know best, because you are the judge of all the earth. When I can take vengeance and when I can make them pay, I still choose to forgive." I had zero intentions of sharing any of this today. But I feel deeply in my spirit that some of us, it's not about getting another word and it's not about a revelation of the future. We're stuck somewhere along the path. For some reason, we're not walking along the path that the Lord has opened up. We've taken a detour. We've thrown in the towel. We've refused for whatever reason. And God in his kindness and God in his mercy, wherever we've run off to. How about that one? Anybody good at running off and going numb, but you're still present. The only one that knows it is you. Have you ever had anybody compliment you for obeying God and you knew deep down in your heart you were disobeying? In his foreknowledge, Romans 8:29, he predestined us to be conformed to the image and likeness of his son Jesus. The Lord said to me one day, Jeremiah, I have created everyone in my image, but not everyone is being conformed to my likeness. I mean, who is this wise father that we serve? I don't know who I was telling the other day, but I'm like, man, what a plan he had called marriage and kids. Wow. Wow. I've got this great big plan to conform my sons and daughters into not only the image and likeness of my son, and the two primary instruments for many I'm going to use is a sacred thing called marriage, where the goal is not happiness, it's holiness. And then if you're still having a little trouble, I'll drop in a few kids. Oh, my goodness. So it's so heartbreaking when you meet older saints that are so hardened. That are so angry. That are so upset. Because shouldn't the destination be that the older we grow in God, the more tender we become? The more forgiving we become? I want to be like Jesus. Jesus didn't pick up his cross so we don't have to. Jesus picked up his cross to show us how to pick up ours. It's all this false grace whackness right now in the church. None of this fits into a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Name it, claim it, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, hallelujah. Throw some more money in the offering, please. It's just produced a generation of disillusioned, disappointed, spoiled brats. It has not produced a people that are reflecting the true image of the Son, walking in humility and forgiveness in the midst of transition and on our way to our journey in God. Even Jesus himself, the way that I teach it is there were three primary T's: trials, temptations, and testings. Even he himself was being perfected to be the spotless Lamb of God. If Jesus himself had to go through trials and testings and temptations, why do we think we're exempt? I've wept at conferences all over the U.S. where they preach the gospel. I watched the televangelists on TV and I stopped laughing. Come to Jesus and you'll never have another problem again. Do you know how many people are entering into the kingdom of God under a spirit of deception? People, they give their life to Christ and they catch the fire, amen, the joy of salvation, year or two or five, and then this thing called the school of hard knocks comes. The mundane, marriage, family, I can't feel God. We're just seeing one by one, hundreds by hundreds, thousands by thousands, COVID-19, and we fold. We're done. Next. The very instruments that the Lord is placing all around us intended to humble us, to cause forgiveness inside of us, to walk as He walked, to talk as He talked. We just cast them as the wayside. Do you know how many people are binding the devil when it's really God? Uh-oh. Now we're messing with some theology. I'm telling you, people, when they buy into this false gospel, they begin to renounce and reject the very tools that God has placed in their life for their success. Remember one time a young couple came up to me asking for money. I consider myself a generous guy. I began to reach in my pocket and God said, "Don't you dare." I said, "Why, God?" In my heart, they're struggling. He said they're being disobedient. They're poor stewards of what I've given them. And if you give them money, you're playing me. I know it hurts to watch people that you love hit rock bottom. Oh God, I know, I remember the night when I had to let my brother go who's now in prison. When Jeremiah had to get delivered of Jesus Christ syndrome. How we doing? Don't take the easy way out. Stop praying these prayers like, "Lord, just get me there quickly without anything happening." Let's pray Bible prayers. Let's pray Jesus prayers. Are you ready? Not my will, but yours be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Erica, could you come back up? Let's just put our hands out like this. God is not trying to get you to give up. God is trying to get you to give in. He's not trying to corner you up against a wall and strong arm you into getting to submit to Him. God is asking those in this room, He's asking Restoration Fellowship, will you just surrender to me?
Let's just close our eyes. Erica, I want to sing that song about the new wine, about the crushing. Keep getting this vision this morning of crosses all over this room. You can look at the cross. I feel like the Lord is saying to many of us, it's time to get on the cross. Not because I'm punishing you, not because I'm angry with you, but real life comes through death. Real power comes through crushing. Real promise, real destiny is inherited by those who learn how to endure. God, all over this room, we just yield ourselves to you. Wherever we're at in this life, the transition that we're all in, God, we say yes.
And in the crushing, and in the pressing, you are making new wine in the soil I now surrender, 'cause you are breaking new ground. I sing again in this crushing and in the pressing. I believe you are making new wine. So in the soil I now surrender, 'cause you are breaking new ground. And so I yield to you and to your careful. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Oh, make me your vessel and make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all came here with nothing but all you have.
just keep hearing the Father say, keep going. Don't quit. Father, we release forward motion today. We prophesy life today. We prophesy that there is more. God, help us to trust you. Jesus, we love you. Father, I pray blessing over every marriage, over every family. God, we shut every door to the devil. God, release forgiveness, release reconciliation, God. Lord, I pray for those in this room still searching for a spouse. I sense for some of you, you thought it was someone and it didn't work out. You thought you heard, you had a dream, a word, and it didn't turn out. God is speaking to you right now. Don't let your pride get in the way. Humble yourself. Keep walking forward. He's going to make all things work together for our good and His glory. I'm going to leave these altars open this morning. Erica, maybe you could sing that one more time. Thank you for joining us this weekend. If there's anything on the resource table that could bless you as you go. But thank you for partnering with us to see this generation come to the knowledge of God. God bless you.
So we do want to just remain in a spirit of ministry for a few minutes. We have time. We're not going to open the doors till 10 out here. I'll give you instructions of how to exit in a minute. So if you want to visit the resource table, that's fine. But please don't leave because we're going to exit you a certain way. Jesus, continue to minister. Again, if you want to come up front and get down, we have time. Let the Lord minister to you. We're just going to take 5, 6, 7 minutes and let the Lord do what He wants to do yet.
In the crushing and in the pressing, you are making new. I trust you. In the soil and I'll surrender, 'cause you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you, to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. I yield to you. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Oh, Jesus, make new wine out of me. Jesus, make new wine out of me. Don't leave me the same. to me, conform me, Lord Jesus, make new wine out of me. 'Cause where there's new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom. And the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today.
You guys to go. Mike, I know you're ready. We're going to open up this exit door on this side. We're going to open up this exit door on this side. We ask that you would leave out either one of those doors. If the Lord's really ministering to you, you can remain for a little while yet because we're counting the people that are coming in. You've already been, so don't worry about it if you hang out for a little bit. But please don't exit out that front or it'll mess up all of our numbers. So exit out here, exit out there when you're ready to go. We love you guys.
Hold me fast. Yes, your waters cannot quench them. Floods cannot drown it. Love as strong as death is, jealous as the grave. I know that waters cannot quench your love. Floods cannot drown it. Love as strong as death is, jealous as the Jesus, keep me steady, steady, oh, hold me fast, Jesus, keep me steady in your everything I am, Jesus.